Rosemary is a fictional character, but what they went through is happening across East of England today. This is their story. In South Basildon and East Thurrock, where NHS wards run short-staffed while training places sit empty, healthcare work that could transform both careers and patient care remains undone. The people who want to train exist, the facilities to train them exist, but the funding mechanism treats each nurse as a cost to be rationed rather than a solution to be deployed.
I grew up in Grays watching my mum come home from night shifts at Basildon Hospital. She worked as a healthcare assistant and I'd see her exhaustion, but also the way she talked about her patients. You know, there was this tenderness in how she described helping someone through a difficult night or making sure an elderly man wasn't frightened when the ward went quiet after visiting hours. I knew from the age of 12 that I wanted to be a nurse. She'd tell me about the ward sisters, how they managed everything, how they made decisions that saved lives. That's what I wanted to do with mine. I got my A-levels at Palmer's College and worked in retail for 3 years, saving every pound I could. Bertie, my rescue greyhound, got used to early morning walks along the Thames estuary while I planned out my future. I'd walk in past the industrial landscape and picture myself in scrubs, finally doing the work I'd dreamed of. In 2019, I thought I was ready. I applied to Health Education England, East of England, for a nursing training place. The letter came back in July. There were 847 applications for 312 funded places. I hadn't made it through. The administrator on the phone was apologetic, but matter of fact. "We simply don't have the capacity to train everyone who wants to nurse," she said. "You're welcome to reapply next year." I spent that year working extra shifts, volunteering at a care home, building my experience. I was going to make myself impossible to refuse. I reapplied in 2021. This time, the response was different. "Funding has been reduced further due to Treasury spending constraints," the letter read. "Treasury spending constraints." I read that phrase over and over. It sounded official, unavoidable, like a natural disaster. The woman I spoke to at Health Education England explained it patiently. "There is no funding for additional training places this year. The budget allocation has been capped." I started volunteering at Basildon Hospital, thinking experience would help my next application. The ward sisters were kind but frazzled. Sister Martinez on the respiratory ward told me they were running with 4 nurses when they needed 7. "We're desperate for staff," she said, "but we can't access the training places. There's no budget allocation from HEE." It was that phrase again, no budget allocation, like the money existed somewhere but had been locked away. That's when I tried a different approach. I contacted the University of Essex directly, thinking maybe I could bypass Health Education England entirely. The admissions coordinator was helpful but confused by my question. "We have 89 empty nursing places this autumn," she told me. "The lecture theatres are sitting there. The clinical placements are arranged, but Health Education England can't release the funding to fill them. 89 empty places." I asked her to repeat the number. "But there are people who want to train," I said. "I know dozens of them." "I know," she said. "We get calls every week. The infrastructure is here, the teaching staff are here, but the funding mechanism won't let us use it." I tried going private, but £27,000 was impossible on my retail wage. Even with a loan, the interest would have crippled me. I applied through Health Education England again in 2022, this time with 2 years of hospital volunteering behind me. The response came from an administrator who sounded tired. "Treasury has capped our training budget regardless of NHS vacancies." "My hands are tied, regardless of NHS vacancies." That phrase stuck with me. It meant they knew the wards needed staff. They knew people wanted to train. But some rule about Treasury budgets overrode all of that. In early 2023, I was walking Bertie near the new Anglia Ruskin campus in Southend. The building was gleaming, modern, designed specifically for nursing students. I peered through the windows and saw entire floors of empty simulation labs, lecture theatres with rows of unused seats, clinical training rooms with equipment still in its packaging. A security guard noticed me looking and came over. "Nursing student?" he asked. "I'm trying to be," I said. He shook his head. "Waste, isn't it? Built for 200 students, we've got maybe 30 rattling around in there. The rest of the places can't be filled because the funding won't stretch." I stood there staring at that building and something clicked. The people existed. I was one of them, and I knew dozens of others. The facilities existed. I was looking at them. The NHS wards needed staff. I'd seen that desperation firsthand. So what exactly was this shortage of money preventing? The UK government prints pounds. It doesn't borrow them from somewhere else or dig them out of the ground. When Health Education England said there is no funding, what they meant was that someone in Westminster had decided not to create the pounds that would connect willing people to empty training places to understaffed wards. I used to accept that excuse. It sounded reasonable, responsible even. Of course, there wasn't unlimited money for everything, and of course, difficult choices had to be made. But standing outside that empty nursing school, I realised I'd been thinking about it backwards. The question was never whether the money existed. The question was whether the people existed, whether the buildings existed, whether the need existed. They did. All of them. The decision not to spend the pounds that would connect them was exactly that, a decision made by people who could have chosen differently. I'm still here, still watching, still applying, but I understand now what I didn't understand before. Every time someone told me there's no money, they were describing a choice as though it were a law of physics. The government that issues the currency told me it couldn't find enough of its own currency to train the people who were standing ready to work in the places that needed them. This isn't just my story, it's the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. The cupboard was never bare, someone just decided not to fill it.
What Rosemary experienced has a name: fake experts. This technique relies on citing authorities who treat questionable claims as self-evident truth. In the 1950s, tobacco companies quoted doctors who insisted smoking was harmless, lending medical credibility to a profitable fiction. The technique works because the authority sounds legitimate, even when the underlying claim is false. In Rosemary's story, Health Education England administrators repeatedly cited Treasury spending constraints as though this were an economic law rather than a political choice. When challenged, they might quote economists who insist government spending must be rationed like household budgets. Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. Sounds authoritative, but which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say, without naming them, is an appeal to unnamed authority. The UK government issues its own currency. When it spends, it doesn't transfer existing pounds from one account to another. It creates new pounds and directs them towards specific purposes. The real constraints are physical. Do the people exist who want to train? Do the buildings exist to train them in? Do the wards exist that need them? In Rosemary's constituency, all of these existed. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. South Basildon and East Thurrock ranks 254 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025. The constituency has 4,309 registered charities and received £43.7 million in total grants, according to 360 Giving Grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.